Hola, and welcome back to Vos Memos. On this episode, I'd like to explore what the average social media user can learn from zine culture. Inspired by Cal Newport's book, Digital Minimalism, Choosing a Focused Life in a Noisy World, in this episode, I will explore what digital minimalism could look like for Gen Z. Furthermore, in my recent endeavors to make more zines, I've uncovered a modern culture of digital minimalists will encourage people to put down their devices, reconnect with their hobbies, and, if applicable, make it into a zine. Are zines the solution to social media addiction and loneliness that has been plaguing internet users these days? Let's talk about it on this episode of Vos Memos. So this episode is going to be broken into three parts: digital minimalism, the impacts of art online, and then is there hope? Because I tried to record this episode before I finished the book, Digital Minimalism. And then after I finished recording, I finished the book. It's only a 7-hour listen on Libby. I realized there was a lot more to be said, and it also inspired me to put into practice some of the things that Cal Newport had been talking about. And it felt kind of hollow, the episode I recorded before finishing the book. So here we are again. Here's the structure, three parts. Let's get into it. Digital minimalism, what is it? And is it attainable or even realistic? So much of technology only offers incremental positive effect. And what social media and like Mark Zuckerberg would want you to believe is, and even like Steve Jobs, Apple, big technology, they all want you to think that your life is so much better because you have your phone in your pocket. And what Cal Newport kind of deconstructs for us is that this is not the case. It's just not. Basically, there are a few incremental positive impacts, like I have my phone for emergencies, I have Google Maps, but it's not necessarily improving my life in such a way that if you downgrade to a dumb phone that you are now at a disadvantage, right? We have modern day computers, we have a lot of other solutions to the same thing that your phone can do, just in a slightly less convenient way. And convenience would be, as Cal Newport would say, is not something that you should be dictating your life around. It's a big issue if we're giving up hours and hours of our day to our phones just because it's a little bit more convenient to contact people, right? I definitely spend too much time on my phone, and the biggest culprit is social media. And I can be using my phone to make other things that are a little bit more valuable, more convenient, like reading. I'm up to 7 books this year, and a lot of that is because I have it on my phone, which is great. And I spent all that time reading instead of scrolling on social media, so that feels really good. But again, like, the main culprit here is social media and the illusion that it's providing us connection, and it's providing us like tips and tricks and all these learning opportunities, when in reality, how many of those videos that you're bookmarking you're actually circling back to? How many of those recipes that you're saving are you actually circling back to? Probably very few of them, right? I know I'm not. And so those are like the lures social media uses to try to keep you on the app. And the rest of it is just they need to keep you on the app for as long as possible to get ad revenue, right? So everything that they're doing in the UI, everything they're doing on that screen is in some way motivated to keep you on the app longer. I have one like small conspiracy theory for those of you that are big Instagram stories users. Maybe you've seen the update where it's now taking several minutes to post a story, and you have to keep the app open to post the story. So my theory is it doesn't take any longer than it used to post a story. It's just one more way that they, Mark Zuckerberg, whoever is trying to keep you on the app longer, you have to be on the app the whole time. You're waiting for your story to upload. And I have no idea. That's just my little conspiracy theory. But it's one example of the negative and evil, you could say, motives of these social media companies. They just are trying to find any way to keep your attention. And your attention is so valuable. We only have so much time on this earth, right? So how do we take back control of our attention? One of the biggest analogies that Newport kept returning to throughout the book was the analogy of a slot machine. Social media is a slot machine. Every time you're pulling down on the top of your screen for a refresh, that is another time that you are pulling the slot machine. You're hoping to get new fun stuff. Maybe you're hoping to get more likes on your post. I know as soon as I turned off notifications for Instagram, that saved me a lot of time because I wasn't checking. I wasn't waiting for another dopamine hit every time I got a like. And so that compulsive checking can pretty easily be interrupted by just deleting the app off your phone. I've noticed the UIs on the desktop version for these apps are just, for some reason, I don't want to spend a lot of time on them. And it's probably because I get very little value from these platforms. It's just that I get sucked in because of the way they're designed on my phone. When I'm on Instagram on the desktop, I very easily navigate exactly to where I want to go and log off in a matter of minutes. And so it truly highlights like how these apps are built just to keep you on there, even if the value you're gaining from them can be achieved in a very small amount of time. And so this leads kind of into my one additional point that is kind of inspired by Newport's whole book. But he wrote this before the term rotting was coined. And I see this a lot on social media, rotting and the normalization of self-isolation and just over-media consumption. It is not normal to spend an entire day rotting in bed. It's just not. I understand there's a lot of mental health issues, and a lot of those mental health issues are tied to social media from the beginning. So it's like a self-inflicting circle of rot and decay. But the fact that we're normalizing it, I just don't think that's right. In fact, there's many terms like this that have been normalized: doom scrolling, binge watching. We just laugh when people are like, oh yeah, I watched 8 hours of TV on Netflix in one day. What? And I've done it. I'm guilty of it too. But is that normal? And should we be celebrating that? Or should we be reevaluating how we're spending our leisure time? And that's what Newport's argument is that there's many ways that are a lot more fulfilling that we could be spending our leisure time, but we're just not doing it because we have this technology ready to give us instant gratification, instant dopamine. A huge headline these days has been that Gen Z is the loneliest generation out there right now. Despite how connected we are on the internet, we're just not seeing each other in person. We're not going to in-person events. I've seen it when I worked in higher ed, like after COVID, in-person attendance just is gone. Students just don't show up to in-person events. And same is true with just events in general. If there's an online escape route, then people will take it. And it's because we're being conditioned that liking, commenting, interacting online is enough to replace human connection, when in fact it's not. Like, you need to be talking to people. You need to be in person with people. Humans are very social creatures, and we need to be seeking out those in-person events so that we can actually fill up our hearts. And I know not everyone's an extrovert. I wouldn't say I'm the most extroverted person either, but it's still so important to be seeking out some kind of human interaction, even if it's just one-on-one. I do much better on a one-on-one than on a group activity. And I really enjoy spending time one-on-one with somebody. And that is not as draining as trying to interact in a whole group setting. So if that's the issue for you and you're using introvertedness as a justification to rot, I think there's a way around it. There's other solutions. I mean, it's just kind of one of those obvious things. Like if you're telling people it's okay to decay, it's okay to rot, I think you already can hear how weird that sounds, but it's just normal on Instagram. I'm having a rot day, rot with me, rotting in bed till X, how to recover from rotting until 8 p.m. Like, it's becoming a culture when we need to be trying to step back, get away from just the mindless scrolling. And so the thing I think I can really bring to Newport's whole idea of digital minimalism that he couldn't really touch on is from the perspective of the art community. Because artists online, like, this is a huge part of Instagram. I feel like when Instagram first started, it was, you know, catered towards photography and, of course, amateur photography with the rise of the iPhone, but also just photography and, like, having artistic images. There's been a culture of artists on Instagram since the beginning, and many of them use Instagram as a way to sell art. And I think that's a completely separate discussion. That doesn't really fit into digital minimalism. Using social media as a e-commerce site, that's a different story. everything with TikTok shop, Instagram shop, whatever they call it, all of that fits into a completely separate umbrella. But for the artists that are purely on Instagram to share their art, is social media still right for them? Should artists be on social media? And so this is where I bring in the culture of zines and zinesters. And before I get too far into it, what are zines? And so zines are truly a way to, in the modern day, unplug and share ideas through other channels besides social media. Zines force you to hold a piece of art, digest it, interact with it, flip through pages, really absorb it, and also a very affordable way. Zines are self-published, and they often cost between zero and like $5. They're very local, and they're often representing minority voices and other people that just can't really get published through mainstream channels. And so me, as an artist that's been on Instagram since 2018, I love my art Instagram account. I really do. I love creating the branding. I have some background in graphic design, and I love like having my pink aesthetic and curating the look of my art account. And the whole account in itself has become an art project because of that, because the branding, the graphic design, that's all part of my experiment. And then it's also very archival because I only post on there things I'm very proud of. And I watched one video that kind of sparked this whole quest for digital minimalism and even recommended the book to me. This artist, and I'll link her in the show notes, she was also talking about like being an artist on Instagram and how many cons come with it. And it goes back to like the very beginning where social media is feeding us all of these ideals that it can fill, but in reality, it's not filling any of them. And so with artists on Instagram, it becomes very restrictive. So basically, if you're an artist on Instagram, you have to be creating your art in a format that fits the phone screen, which already eliminates so many different types of art and just like sizes and ratios, aspect ratios of art. Everything on Instagram has to be 3:4 or 1:1, like a square. And anything that doesn't fit in those ratios, you're going to cut off part of it or shrink it down. And a lot of art is all about, where do I want to put the focal point? Like, I'm putting a grid using the 1/3 rule. And if I crop it, that changes the way you perceive the art. which is wrong. That's very wrong. It doesn't feel good. And then furthermore, if you want to be noticed on Instagram, you have to fit into these trends, especially reels, to try to push your art out to new audiences. And any room for originality is just not there. Original content is not prioritized in the algorithm. You have to be using a trending audio or some kind of trending format in order to be seen. And so that's really diminishing to creativity. And the last thing, the last con for being an artist on Instagram is the overconsumption and devaluing of art. Devaluing because there's just this huge demand and artists are being forced to pump out more and more art. And if they can't keep up, they get forgotten. And if they do keep up, then people are devaluing their art. You see it a lot with small businesses, like small art businesses specifically. People ask, why are your prices so high? And the artist is trying to explain how their years and years of art practice kind of factors into their pricing model. And it's a very messed up system for the artist because they're trying to defend the value of their art. When the first reason that they were on Instagram to begin with was just to share it and make it more accessible. I think that's just really sad. And I struggle with this a lot because when I'm on my art Instagram account, I can see other artists and it's really exciting to get inspiration and interact with other people online. But in reality, have I ever met any of those other artists? No. And could I have found that inspiration in other places? Probably. I'm really excited to announce that I'll be participating in Zine Fest at Squirrel House Arts. And the thing that makes me most excited about the event is just meeting other artists. And they have a whole zine swap set up for before the fest starts so that all of us can meet each other and swap zines and just like experience the event together, because obviously during the event everyone's at their table. And I wouldn't have found this opportunity without social media. I found it on the Squirrel House Art Instagram, which I'm following because I'm trying to follow more local artists. But I probably could have found this opportunity in like a 5-minute weekly check-in on Instagram, instead of like keeping Instagram on my phone and scrolling through it for hours every day. So there's some nuance there. So what does this all mean in terms of my art Instagram account, my personal accounts? I think it's a lot easier for me to think about my art Instagram. One of the main takeaways I got from Cal Newport was intentionality. If my only intention when I'm posting on my art Instagram account is to gain fame or virality, then I'm really doing a disservice to my art and I'm like turning my art into a commodity instead of making it more accessible and sharing my message. So if I'm just staying within that vein of posting for archival, experimental, and accessibility purposes, then I think I can continue to post on my art Instagram account. And I will, at @artfullyange, if you don't delete your social media after this. And it's interesting when I look back on my life, because obviously I've grown up with the internet. I've been blogging since 2014. My blog tagline is, "If I shout into the void, who knows who is listening?" And I mean, mostly I thought about that tagline. I don't remember where it came from. Hopefully I didn't steal it from anyone. But the message really kind of connects to this episode, where as long as my art reaches one person in that void, then I'm happy. I'm happy that I was able to share. I'm happy that I was able to impact that person, hopefully in a positive way, that my art resonated with them. And that's all an artist can really ask for. Obviously, the artists that are trying to use these platforms to make money to like survive as a professional artist, I really feel for them. These platforms are not really built to help anyone except the social media companies. And it's very random. I've been posting on my art Instagram account since 2018, and I had one reel go insanely viral right when reels first came out. And then since then, it's kind of been nothing, nothing, nothing. And then last night, I just posted a reel on a whim, forgot about it, came back to 2,000 views. And the funny part is I used that same exact sound on my podcast Instagram with not nearly as much success. So it is just so random how these videos get pushed out, and to put your whole livelihood dependent on that, I couldn't do it. I feel so inspired by people that make it work for them and get to pursue their dreams of being a full-time artist and are able to use these platforms to promote their art. I really commend them. I don't think I could do it. And so I feel lucky that my art Instagram account can kind of stick into those three pillars, and I can just use it until I decide that I would just want to move all my archiving to my blog or a different platform. I'm not attached to Instagram at all monetarily. So, and that's kind of why I didn't want to get into the whole business aspect of Instagram. And so going back to the idea of how does this factor into personal use for those of you that are just on Instagram, I want to come back to one of the other main takeaways I got from the book, which is tech is not neutral. We are often led to believe that tech is kind of what we make it into, that it's just this neutral tool like a hammer or a bicycle. And if you want to use it for evil, you can use it for evil. And if you want to use it for good, you can use it for good. The fact is, these tools are not built neutrally. Instagram is built to make money for Instagram and Facebook and Meta. And it's built to get you addicted to the platform, right? That is not neutral. You could even say that's evil. So we need to be actively combating the addictive and isolating nature of social media in order to keep those positive aspects for our own personal lives. In my case of the art Instagram, I think I'm doing a good job of that. I think I use it for the good parts, and I'm able to log off pretty quick, and it's not controlling my life. As for the rest of my social media, I did delete Instagram immediately off my phone after finishing the book. That's how inspired I was. And I've deleted Instagram many times before and failed, redownloaded it. This time, I have some new strategies to help me keep it off my phone until I can kick the addiction. For example, I still have my accounts that I use for the art account and the podcast. I don't need the app on my phone to post on those accounts. There's a whole business suite. I record all these videos and audios on my laptop, and then I transfer them to my phone. So there's really no reason for me to have the apps. So I think in that way, I'm going to encourage myself to just post on the website versions, which are less addictive. And I think it's going to challenge me to improve my editing because I can use higher end tools on my laptop to edit videos instead of the built-in tools inside of Instagram. So that's like a mini challenge and skill building exercise as well. And then I think I've been doing so much better this year about investing into my hobbies, reading, creating art, writing, and I'm just going to keep working on that. And hopefully that will help me finally kick the social media addiction, because a big part of Cal Newport's whole book was just investing in hobbies that are valuable to your life and also finding ways to interact with people and create that social life, both of which I think I've been doing very well, especially being off on my own in the big city. But I've still been held back a bit by having this social media addiction. So deleting it off my phone, I think, is a great first step. And then just filling up that time with better things, because ultimately I'm not getting a lot of value out of social media. It's mostly just an archive at this point for me. So why am I keeping it? Why am I scrolling endlessly? Like, when I ask myself those things, like, what am I getting out of it? I don't have a good answer. I would encourage you to ask yourself those same questions. And once you're deep into the pursuit of those hobbies and things that actually provide meaning in your life, maybe you'll find out that making zines is a great way to capture and archive those. I was thinking back to a trip I just went on to Colorado over the weekend with my boyfriend, and I was really excited to turn it into like a mini vlog and post it on my Instagram. I realized about a day later that half of the video was missing, so I had to delete it and repost it. And I asked myself, I'm like, who am I posting this for? I don't even care how many people like this or see it. I'm just doing this for myself. Why am I even posting it on Instagram? And then I could ask myself an even bigger question. Does this need to be a video at all? Or could I have recorded this into a zine that might have kind of a more artistic and nuanced message? Like, how amazing it was to just get out and travel and spend quality time with somebody I love and see new things and experience new things. Maybe that could have all been captured with a little bit more nuance in a different format. I probably will turn it into a zine, let's be real. And so this brings us to the final part. It's been all doom and gloom. Delete your Instagram. Social media is addictive. Is there hope? Yes. The simple answer is delete it off your phone. Like I said, limit your use as much as possible, because you'll find that you're not getting as much value out of it as you think. And a lot of that value can be found in other places. Just 5 minutes to check a few key accounts. I could have found that zine opportunity. Could find other events in Minneapolis. I don't need to be constantly scrolling Instagram to find those things. Could even just sign up for more newsletters. That's a simple way to get that important information without that clutter and noise. The other thing I would encourage you to do is buy zines and make zines, support artists. And I think zines are such a great affordable way to support an artist and grow a collection of art in your home that doesn't take up a lot of space. You don't have to hang it up anywhere. It can slip between your books on your bookshelf. It could be a bookmark even. Zines are just a great way to engage with something tangible and something that doesn't require a screen. And maybe you'll be inspired to make your own. I think finding ways to be creative is so important, and people really discount having creative hobbies, but they're so important. Okay, my last bonus tip, which didn't really fit into this episode, but is kind of from the most extreme ends of digital minimalism. Ultimately, Cal Newport and the book would encourage you to not check your phone, maybe check your phone like once a day. Don't really text people, let people call you for like emergencies, but just kind of be disconnected, and then only connect on your terms, which I think is a great aspirational goal. I'm not really ready to be that extreme with my digital minimalism. I'm taking the first baby steps. But something I really liked out of that section was to schedule office hours. And this kind of ties into a common thread online about how third spaces are kind of disappearing and people don't have places to hang out anymore. And that is also playing into the whole loneliness epidemic. So I would say to this, like, I think it's a great idea to tell your friends, hey, every Saturday morning, I'm going to be at this coffee shop. If you want to join me, great. If you don't, I'll be reading my book. And so just starting a culture within your group of friends to meet somewhere and see each other in person I think that sounds like my ultimate dream with my friend group. I would love to have a routine. It sounds very like Friends-esque to be always meeting up in a coffee shop. It doesn't have to be a coffee shop. It could be anywhere. But I really liked that idea. And also, I'm a big proponent of phone calls. And part of the office hours was telling people, oh, like, I appreciate getting your text. I'll be available after 5:30. Just give me a call anytime, any day. And so that leads to more richer conversations through the phone. Or, I mean, if you're free, in person. And it kind of gives that space to people, gives them permission to call you. Because in our weird, isolating culture, people don't even feel comfortable calling each other anymore. You have to send a text and then you can call. I love just calling people. So that would be an open invitation to any of my friends and family. Any day, anytime after 5:30, give me a call. I'd love to take your call. Love to chat. So I think that both of these examples, having a set place you'll be and having a set time you're open to taking calls, is a great way to connect with people more if you're feeling kind of scared to make the jump and delete social media off your phone and you're wondering, how am I going to stay connected to people? This is the way. Making it easy for people to reach out to you, but you don't have to be on call all the time and you don't have to be online all the time. And with that, I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of Voice Memos. Follow and review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and now YouTube. Tune in every other Friday for a new episode. And despite the thesis of this whole episode, there is a Voice Memos Instagram at Voice Memos. There's also a page on my website dedicated to this podcast. If you do decide to delete your social media, angelageorge.com/Voice Memos, and I'll see you in the next one. Bye.